don't. God loves me as much as he loves you. God loves you as much as he loves me. He has no big eyes and little U's. God looks at us all the same and said, I love you because I gave my only begotten son for you. And so whosoever, that's what we got to get through our mind. It's the whosoever. He didn't say if you was born on the right side of the track, if you wore the certain type of suit, if you carried a big Bible, if you sang in the choir, if you were a deacon or usher, whatever. God didn't say that. He said whosoever. I wish I had somebody here that realizes that. We need to start preaching the kingdom, and the kingdom is about kings and subjects of the king. And so everybody, every one of us are subjects of the king, and God loves us just like his subjects, but we have to be his loyal subjects. Come on and say amen. And he says, but look, he says to him, he says, go. He said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach. You see, the first man was challenged with poverty, but the second man was challenged with preaching. You see, some of us, God is telling us to preach, and it ain't always behind the podium. God is telling us to preach to our friends and family. God is telling, and we don't want to offend. I ain't trying to preach to you. You better preach to them, because the Bible says that it's by the foolishness of preaching that men will be saved. You got to understand something. It ain't no other way. They ain't going to get saved by you trying to agree with them. They're not going to get saved by you trying to smooth over their emotions and trying to make them feel good about what state they're in. That's not going to get it. But the only way that you can help them is to preach to them. I don't care if they get mad, I'm still preaching. Now, you ain't got to want to hear this, but you need to hear this. Sometimes you got to give them what they need rather than what they want. Preach anyway. That's why we're here this morning, to get what we need, not what we want. Somebody say amen here. We got to get to a place that it doesn't matter what it is that they're doing, what they're going through. You need to tell them what thus said the Lord. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Come on and say amen. I don't care if it's your mama. You need to say, mama, that's wrong. I don't care if it's your best friend. You need to say, best friend, I love you, and I need you to understand that that's wrong. You can't keep holding grudges. You can't keep being unforgiving. You can't keep being vengeful and revengeful. Come on and say amen. You can't keep doing the stuff that you're doing. You got to learn how to give up that stuff. You got to forget that stuff that's behind you. You got to learn how to forgive, amen, in order for you to get forgiven. You got to have mercy in order for you to receive mercy. Am I preaching this morning? I believe I am, and I'll say amen to myself. We got to learn how to stop telling them, oh yeah, you go ahead and do what you're doing. Go ahead and fight. No, I need to turn the other cheek. Your enemy come in, give him water when he's thirsty, bread when he's hungry. I wish I had somebody. Pray for them that despitefully use you. That's how we're supposed to approach things. That's what we're supposed to say, even if they're wrong. And then when they realize they're wrong, we're there to comfort them, to let them know that there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Romans 8, he said, for them that walk in the Spirit.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all. Hallelujah. There will be a praise after this. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh after this. You got to have a test, then comes your testimony. After this, glory is coming after this. Tell somebody, after this. No, after this. Tell them, I'm encouraged because it's happening after this. You got to go through this and this and this. And but praise it. Oh, I wish I had it. See, I understand why some of you can't praise, because you ain't been after this. But just let a few things happen in your life and you'll get the picture there. When the devil thought he had you, God brings you through. After this, you got to give God some praise and glory. When the children of Israel were down by the Red Sea, and it looked like Pharaoh had won the battle, because there was nowhere for them to go. Ah, but God told Moses, stretch forward your rod. And he did, and the waters parted, and they went across. And after this, what the devil meant for evil, Joseph knows something about that. Some of you going through some stuff. It may be hard right now, but after this, see, you don't mature till you've gone through some things. And some of you just got, listen, it's scheduled for you after this. Right now you're riding high, but you're going to hit rock bottom. But I'm telling you, you will have a testimony when you come back up again. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. After this, that the devil said would take you out, I want you to know there is an after this. While you're going through this, you might be crying, but oh, there'll be glory after this. There will be praise. Yeah, after this. There will be joy. Ah, come on, talk to me, somebody. There's gonna be a testimony after this. Take it on home. After this, praise the Lord. Every now and then I just wish I had some folk who've been through some stuff that could help me praise the Lord, because some of y'all act like y'all ain't had an after this experience. Some of you might still be going through, so I'm going to leave you alone. But then after this, when you throw your hands up and, whoa, Pastor, I know what you mean. Uh-huh, you must have been through after this. Praise his name. Well, just sit on down. I'm not going to preach today. I just want to minister a little bit to you. Because this day we are recognizing and honoring those who have survived breast cancer. Praise his holy name. And we are grateful. Amen. Come on, give them another hand. Because they know about after this.
they walk you after this. They've got a testimony. Praise his holy name. And then domestic violence. We've got some things to say about that as well. But also this month is the month of diabetes awareness. And certainly all three of these areas have hit home in our local churches and communities and people in general. And so you're going to note that all of these issues we're concerned about are not just women diseases or issues, but people concerns. Breast cancer as well. Men get it as well, and we need to see about that as well. So we're going to say some things about that. But in the 28th chapter of Matthew, in verse 20, at the end of Jesus' discourse about going into all the world, verse 20 is interesting because many times we don't pause to really understand what Jesus was saying when he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And my brothers and sisters, I think it's so important because sometimes we as Christians become so concerned about the supernatural things that we forget about the natural things. And we forget that we're made of dust and divinity, that there is a part of us that we are required to maintain and to develop and to do to the best of our ability, because according to 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And so one of the things that I want to share with us today and just minister to us more than preach a sermon to you today is the fact that we are responsible and accountable for taking care of this body, this temple that the Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of. While we're here journeying and while we're here on this nomadic journey, God requires us to take care of this flesh. It doesn't belong to us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 goes on to say, it is not ours. It doesn't belong to us. Your body is not your own. It belongs to God. He paid a price for it through giving his son and his son giving his life, so much so that we understand he has purchased us with his pure and precious blood, which means if he has purchased us, we no longer have a right to us. We belong to him. And so if we belong to him, then that means then we have to do what he says rather than what we want to do. And so it's changing our mentality and our understanding and helping us to understand in this world we represent the living God. He's called us to be witnesses and representatives of him. And so it's important for us to understand. Jesus says in this 28th chapter of Matthew, closing it out, teaching them to observe all things. All means all, both spiritual and natural. Teaching them to observe. What does the word observe mean? It simply means to attend to carefully, to take care of, to guard, to observe, to reserve, to undergo something. When he talks about to observe all things, to be able to look, pay attention to, understand what our role, responsibility is, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Start in the 5th chapter of Matthew, and you see the Beatitudes there. There are many things the Lord Jesus Christ says to us. Keep on through the sixth chapter. Keep on. You'll see him unfolding truths for us to live by. Seventh chapter of Matthew. He continues on. But these are not only the things that he's commanded us. He's taught us. The whole word of God is personically what he's speaking of. He is the personification of the word, the living word. He is the Logos. He says, whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, what does it say? That we ought to learn how to operate in the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, for the purpose of God's glory. You're bought with a price. God redeemed you, rescued you, so that you can resemble, respond, and represent him. Him. Now, teaching them to observe all things has both to do with both that pertains to the spiritual and the natural. All things have to do that has to do with earth and with heaven. All things has to do with understanding. He said, be wise as a serpent, but humble as a what? A dove. Listen, he has commanded us to do many things, so you can't lock it into one prescription of how we ought to operate. He's talking about operation of the whole person. And sometime when it comes to God, we try to place God in a box where it only contains the spiritual and not the natural. Jesus' concern was about the whole man. As a matter of fact, he spent most of his earthly ministry dealing with healing, restoring. He had to do with helping us understand the concerns he has about us walking in whole health. Health in our natural man, health in our spiritual man. Listen, if the natural man has health issues, it's going to affect every part of him. If the spiritual man has health issues, it's going to affect every part of him. We've got to understand that the Lord has designed us to be complete in him. Yeah. Do you know when you were designed originally by God, placed on planet Earth, we were not meat eaters. Come on. We were not carnivores. We were vegetarians. We were here to eat fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, berries, that kind of thing. All of those life-giving substances that reproduced, when we ate those things, we had life on the inside of those fruit and those things that regenerated life inside of us. As a matter of fact, when we got sick, there were things from the earth that we were able to eat or to take or to use for the healing of the body. They responded to the body because we were what we ate. Newsflash, we still are. So when old folks say, well, they sure don't make folk like they used to. Well, they make them like it, but we just don't act like we used to act, eat like we used to eat, and carry on like we used to. And so as a result, we have moved away. Our bodies are not as strong. You hear old folk talk about, man, how they walked 20 miles to school and in the cold and so forth, got up and fed the chickens and chopped wood and did all that. That's all before school. Milk the cow and did this and all that, still walked 20 miles to school, got that learning, came on back, and then worked from cant to can and all of that, from the time you can't see to the time you can't see again, to way up in the evening, but they were strong and they were not as sickly as we are today. We can't take no stuff now. Can't go through nothing. Young women, hear the stories of these older women. Man, you don't hear women back in those days had 12, 18, 20 something children. Man, we trip out over a bunch now. Six is a bunch, and man, we don't see many of that today. Now, you know, women can't take it. Well, the men ain't no better. I'm just saying, it's a different time, different day, and so forth. I mean, we don't understand how God has prescribed for us to live through this owner's manual, which is the Word of God, teaching them to observe all for everything you need to know how to live a successful life, a healthy life, a wealthy life, a pure life, a good life is in the Word. And so you got to teach, as Jesus is saying to them. Listen, he told them, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. You're going to have haters in the world. We ought not get caught on that because we are not of the world. If we were of the world would love its own. So you ought to be excited. Teach them to observe that. You need to observe all things. You can tell much about a tree by the fruit it bears. Observe it. You'll see. You'll understand. You'll get to know. Do you know this? That many of the diseases we have today stems from our diet. What we eat. Or rather, what we don't eat. It comes from what we put in us. And so, if what we put in us is not sufficient to keep up the function and activity of that God placed on planet Earth to do so, then we can't get from our food what our body needs to be healthy and to diagnose its own problems and fix itself through the food that we eat. So there comes another issue now with sickness, et cetera, et cetera. Original sin brought on sickness, and sickness is again a derivative biblically of sin. But from that, sin is not just from sins committed in a moral way as such, but it can be the sin again of not eating correctly, not eating what you should eat. And so if we are what we eat, then a whole lot of us can look at each other and see, maybe we don't know the specific things, but you can tell it's good or it's bad. Folk don't binge on healthy food. See, the flesh don't want what's good for it. It wants what's not good for it. And so it's all of the bad things that we shouldn't be having, that, you know, all of the fats, the salts, the oils, and all the rest of these different things that the body clogs up our arteries and all the rest of that stuff. But it's good. It's good to us. And the problem is that it's working against this temple. It's working against this body. It's working against what we are in charge of taking care of. This body does not belong to us, so that means I need to be careful what I put in it because it's not mine, and that's why it's going to go back to the dust one day. But I'm going to have to give an account for it. Not only am I going to have to give an account for it, but I'm going to have to deal with the side effects because of my choices. And so I can make many of my days a lot better than I make them by just simply choosing to eat right. Now that means it's going to be drastically different from the way your diet looks right now. Do you know if we were to try and eat healthy, most of us would resolve right now that we just going to die early and we just going to go on and be fat and we just going to, that's it, that we can't handle that. So that's why it's a lifestyle change. It is something that we gradually do. You know, before I was diagnosed with diabetes, I used to have 4, 5, 6 pieces of chicken at one setting. And I ain't gonna lie, I loved my greasy fried chicken. I loved it. I was a little boy, and I got mad with myself one day because I heard some old folk talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they didn't like Kentucky Fried Chicken because it was too greasy. I was a boy, and we were traveling, and my uncle and I, and it was, I can't remember where we were going, but we hadn't passed any place to eat, looked like in tens of miles. And there was a Kentucky Chicken coming up, and my uncle asked me, did I want some Kentucky Chicken? And I told him, no, I don't want Kentucky Fried Chicken because it's too greasy. Now I'm a little boy now. I really know nothing about all that. So instead of getting Kentucky Fried Chicken, we rode on for perhaps another hour or two, and we finally stopped at a little corner store. And I remember to this day what I got to eat. I wound up getting a pig lip and some potato chips. And I think back so many days. And Kentucky was one of my greasy fried chicken favorites. I might as well be real with you. I was like, I turned down Kentucky Fried Chicken for a pig lip and potato chips. Well, now neither one of them are good for you, but if I had to choose, I would have made a different choice. And so many of us, you can tell whether or not you've grown and matured and you realize this is the Lord's body by going to a buffet, a wonderful buffet. Some of y'all claim y'all go to the casino for the buffet. And what do you eat? What do you eat? You know, I mean, you know, do you eat, you know, artery clogging meats and sweets, you know, decadent, you know, delicious delights and all of that kind? What do you eat? Or do you go and eat nutritiously? No. You don't. You don't go there to eat right. They ain't put all that stuff out there for you to eat right. And then we wash it down with whatever we wash it down with. And it's either filled with sugar or alcohol. Y'all getting quieter and quieter by the minute. And some of you no discipline, you just eat and eat and eat and eat. You take a break and then you just eat and eat and eat and eat. People come and people go and you still eat, eat. Get them, go to the bathroom and come on back and eat and eat and eat. You want to get your money's worth. You done got about 10 people's money worth. And then after that, you think you're energized and you're ready to exercise or you're fueled to accomplish what God designed and purposed your life to do? No, you tired. Ooh, I need a wheelbarrow. I need somebody to come in, take a winch and wheel me out of here. Why? Why? Pool was designed to energize you. But we become gluttons. Gluttonous. Just overindulge. See, so even if we hadn't decided to make the right choices, we'll at least learn how to control the choices that we do make. I went from eating off a platter to eating off an oversized salsa and discovered I get just as full. As a matter of fact, I learned that even when I got full while eating off the platter, I had my mind made up and my heart fixed. I'm gonna finish this. Doing detriment to my body, didn't even realize it. Ain't nothing cute about stuffing yourself and then stuffing yourself with the wrong stuff. Nothing good comes out of that. And then you